Open it to the 86th Psalm, if you would. It's good to have the Jackson family back with us tonight. They're visiting this morning. Glad they're back. It's also good to have, I believe it's Carlos and Laney, right? And good to have y'all back. They were here, I guess, last Sunday night, maybe. Glad they came back. Good to have them with us. And, hey, we're glad you're here, all right? Glad you're here. Really want to preach a little bit tonight, kind of go along with what I preached this morning just a little bit. And you say, why are you preaching on that again? Because I believe you need to hear it, all right? The Lord says some things, and what he says in his our Bible, he doesn't always just say it once. Now, if he says it once, that's enough. But if he says it more than once, we ought to pay attention even more, I think. So just want to look at one verse tonight, Psalm 86, verse 11. We may get out early, but don't hold your breath, okay? Man, I'm reminded of a story I heard about a preacher. He got up one day and he preached, and he preached about 15 minutes, which is about half of what he normally preached. And when he finished that, he said, I regret to inform you that my dog, who really likes to eat paper, ate the rest of my notes of what I was going to preach this morning. And so that's it. And so after the service, people were going by shaking his hands, and there was a fellow there who was a visitor. A visitor was there, and he shook hands with the preacher, and he said, Preacher, listen, I just want you to know, if your dog ever has puppies, I'd like to get one for my pastor. So, now, I want to tell you up front, I don't have a dog, all right? And I'm not planning to have one, all right? So don't get your hopes up that the preacher's dog will eat his notes, all right? Don't do that. Verse 11, the psalmist says, Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I want you to notice those three words, I will walk. I will walk. We talk about the Christian walk. We talk about your walk. Hey, it's an important thing. When we talk about that, basically what it is your way of life, okay? That's what a walk is. The Christian walk is a Christian way of life. When we talk about your walk with the Lord will be reflected in the way you live. It's going to show up in the way you live, and it is how you live, and we ought to be concerned about it. You see, I believe what's wrong, a big part of what's wrong in the world is so many of God's people who name the name of Christ. We call the Lord our Savior, but we need to start living like we've been born again, all right? We need to live like what we claim we believe, all right? It ought to be there. We ought to show it. It ought to show up in our life, all right? It ought to show up. It's just right there. My favorite illustration that goes along with this is my ninth grade English teacher. Only had a couple of English teachers in all of my schooling that I liked. And one of them was Miss Miller. She was my ninth grade English teacher. Now, she was a very pretty young lady. She was a very young teacher, very inexperienced, new in teaching. But she did a good job of making English bearable, which for me was a very difficult thing, all right? But I'll never forget the day she came to class. We were in the midst of class, and she's standing at the blackboard, and she says, Now, if you'll look here. And she just froze. And all of us at first thought, what has happened? Our young teachers had a stroke or something. I mean, there she was. Then we realized she was looking at that new shiny ring that was right there. And that diamond was there. She had gotten engaged over the weekend. It affected her. Man, how in the world could being born again not affect the way we live, huh? And here are I've been born again, I've been saved, the Lord saved me, and yet I don't live like anything's changed. Nothing's any different. Boy, I think people ought to be asking, you know, you might look at somebody and say, don't know what it is, something's different. in order to show up. And so how in the world is that Christian walk going to happen? Well, I want you to notice just a few things tonight, four things about that, if I could. Number one, we need to desire that walk. We need to desire that walk. I've found out in life we don't do what we don't want to do. We don't do what we don't want to do. You say, well, I am. Maybe you're a child. You're here. Said, I'm here because they made me come. Well, that's good. I'm glad somebody had the good sense to make you do what you ought to do. All right? Good. Good. It's a good thing. But by and large, most of us, I mean, you adults, you get, and when it's just us on our own, we don't do things unless we want to do them. We ought to desire that walk with the Lord. Would you look at our text again? Notice what the psalmist said. He said, teach me thy way, and I will walk. Teach me. Boy, what an attitude. That's the attitude we ought to have. We ought to have. Look, we encourage you to be faithful in church. We encourage you Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, any other day you can get there. If we're having something, be there, show up, all right? I've told you before, if you drive by the parking lot, there's a lot of cars you ought to pull in and see what you're missing, all right? I mean, it ought to be important to you. You ought to want to be involved. You want to be there. Say, man, if there's something going on, I can get something. I want to get what I can get from it, all right? That ought to be our attitude. We want all we can get out of that Christian life. I want all there is. I encourage you, read your Bible. Amen. Read your Bible. Open it up. Read it. There ought to be that desire in us to, Lord, teach me. Teach me. If you would just help me, if you would give it to me, I need that. And Lord, if you'll teach me, I will do it. I will do it. I have people come talk to me a lot. I've had a lot of people say, preacher, I'd like to talk to you. I need some advice. I've almost gotten down the habit of saying, well, before you come, can I ask you this? If I give you advice, will you promise you'll do it instead of just coming and listening to it? Because I see a lot of people come, yep, okay, walk out the door, doesn't change them a bit. They don't do anything I said to do. Matter of fact, a lot of times do exact opposite of what. And a few months later, here they are again. Hey, boy, we ought to have that desire. Lord, teach me. And Lord, if you'll teach me, I will do what you say. When you open your Bible, to sit down to read your Bible. Now, you don't have to pray 30 minutes. But there ought to be that prayer. Lord, help me. Show me what I need today. Just help me. Show me something from your word. Just give it to me, all right? But, man, there's so many people in our day that seem to be just the opposite. And even people that are Christians seem to be just the opposite. Their desire seem to be just focused, well, I got saved and I want to go to heaven, but until then, don't bother me. Just don't bother me. You know, who cares about the Christian life now? I'll take care of all that kind of stuff. I'll do that in heaven, and that'll be fine. Hey, my friend, if you have no desire to walk in the Christian way on this earth, I'll be honest, I got grave questions about your salvation. I do. Hey, I'd sooner believe the newlywed who didn't want to go on his honeymoon than the Christian says, I don't have a desire to have a Christian walk. I'd sooner believe there was a new millionaire who didn't plan to spend a little bit of money. I'd just rather. Or the Olympic champion who said, nah, I don't want to claim that gold medal. No. Oh, I want it. I know, but I don't want to get it. Yet, by the same token, here we are. We have that wonderful privilege. God has saved our soul, and there's a way that we ought to walk in it, and we ought to have that desire. Lord, you teach me. And if you'll just teach me, I'll do it. I will do what you say. But like I say, the great problem of so many professing Christians is they seem to have no desire to display and to walk in that new way. I want to kind of keep it hidden. I'll be honest, when I got saved, I was a 9-year-old boy. When I got saved, I was excited. I was excited enough the next day I went to school and I just had to tell somebody. I mean, I had to tell somebody. You know, what did Jeremiah said? Your word was like a fire in my bones. And he said, I could not stay. Boy, that's the way the Word of God ought to burn in us. It ought to just get in us that we just can't help but say something. 99 years old, the guy I picked to talk to was Kirby Collier. Never forget it. Remember his name. Probably the only kid's name I remember nearly from that year. But old Kirby and I, we were talking, and I said, "Hey, Kirby, I got saved last night. I got saved." I don't know if he knew what I was talking about. I did the best way I could, preach to him as much as I could. Say he got saved 3 times that day. No, he didn't. No, I was just kidding about that. But I witnessed to him. I couldn't help but witness to him, all right? I just had to tell somebody. Boy, and what it is, what a terrible thing to think. We could have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, and we would not want to be interested in walking that walk. We'd not say, "Lord, you teach me, and I will walk." Now, I want you to notice the second thing about that walk. It's a definite walk. It is a very definite walk. Look there. It says, "I will walk in thy truth." It is a walk in truth. Now, when you say that, something like that, there's always somebody that's trying to be the philosopher or the great wisdom and the great wise sage who says, "Oh, but what is truth?" Well, thank God, God's told us. He said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Thy word is truth." That's it. It is truth. So it is a definite walk. It is a walk in truth. Now, the great thing about truth never, 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 never changes. Never changes. If it's true, it's true. Period. All right? Doesn't change. It'll never change. It won't be different tomorrow than it is today. I mean, a lot of things change, but not truth. Not truth. That's why it's so easy to find a liar. If they've got to tell a long, involved story, they'll change it because they can't keep it straight in their own head, all right? So if you're ever lying, keep it simple, okay? Keep it simple. Hey, well, I'll tell you, truth never changes. Just never does. And the Bible says to us, all right, that's the walk. It is a definite walk. It is in the truth, and that is the truth of the Word of God. Now listen, there are tons of people in this old world that are out to deceive you, all right? And boy, there are tons of people that are deceived. Some people deceive themselves. Some people deceive themselves. They tell themselves stuff that is not true. They build things up that are not true. They twist things. They deceive themselves. Many people are deceived today by Satan. I mean, he is the great deceiver. There's no doubt about it. Hey, I'll be honest with you. Not much real truth is popular. It's not real popular. If it's real popular, you kind of wonder if it's true. You really do. You kind of, and I'm not glad it's that way. I'm just telling you that is the way it is. But this walk is a definite walk. It is a walk in truth. Now, I'll be honest up front with you, that can mean self-denial. Now, nobody I know enjoys denying themselves. But walking in truth can mean self-denial because we've got a Bible that says, "Let a man deny himself." He said, if you're going to be my disciple, then let a man deny himself. Come follow me, all right? Take up your cross. Come follow me. It may mean self-denial. Not only that, it's not always easy. Not always easy. That's another thing that keeps us from it. We like easy stuff. We like it to be easy. If it's easy, okay, I'll try it. But if it's going to be difficult, no, I'm out. I'm out. Just leave me out of the deal. We like it easy, we like it simple, we like it without self-denial. But my friend, if it's truth, it may not be that way. I'm not going to try to fool you or deceive you, all right? If it's his truth, that means it's not as you perceive or you think. Not as we, our minds oftentimes don't wander down the line of truth. Okay, they don't. We don't always perceive things as they really, really are. You can get people to witness the same event and all of them will tell it different. All of them will tell it differently. Why? Because they perceive things a little differently. They perceive it. I've told people for years and years, parents that bring their children to school, I've said, look, if they come home and tell you something and it doesn't sound right and you think that wasn't right, that shouldn't happen, I said, don't sit there and just mull over it. I said, call us. And I'm not fixing necessarily to tell you, hey, your child's a liar. Well, I'll tell you, kids see things. They perceive things from their perspective. And it doesn't mean they're wrong. It means it's their perspective. You and I, we see things from our perspective, but there's a God in heaven that sees it all. And His perspective is the one that's right, and it's His perspective. It's what He gives us in the Bible. That is the truth, and that's what you and I are to latch on to. It's not some fuzzy, ethereal outline where much of it is left to conjecture and opinion or interpretation. No, it's just black and white. It's the truth. Right here, it's in this book. It's in this book. And our walk is to be a distinct walk. It's to be in the truth, all right? In His truth. You say, well, how do I know? Read the book. Read the book. Come to church. Hey, I invite all of you to come to church. I don't just invite you to sit out there as robots and then take everything I say in. So, well, if he says it's got to be that, all right? I don't want you to be the people that go through life and say, why do you believe that? Well, my preacher said it. Well, I'm glad your preacher said it, okay, if it's truth, but the reason we believe it ought not to be because the preacher said it, ought to be because the Word of God says it. God says, hey, we're walking in truth. Walking in truth. Hey, there is a distinction, a directness about it, all right? But there's also a direction in this walk. Notice what Psalm 86, verse 11 says again, all right? O Lord, I will walk in thy truth, okay? Unite my heart to fear thy name. But notice that first phrase, teach me thy way. There's a direction, and the direction is his way. It's his way. You know, there's a lot of leaders that say, okay, I'm the leader. Where do you want to go? Well, that's not the leader. If you're having to ask where we're going, you're not the leader. The leader says, here's where we're going. Come follow me. Come follow me. The leader doesn't sit down and say, there it is. Take it. Go. No, the leader's out front. The Lord says, here's the way, and teach me thy way, O Lord. That's the direction we need to go in. There's nothing indefinite about it. It's not my way, Lord. It's your way. It's not my will. It's your will. We have a saying that's often said in people. Usually we never say we say it. We always say somebody else. They have this attitude. It's my way or the highway. Well, I'll tell you, from God's perspective, according to this book, it's His way or it's the wrong way. It's the wrong way. Just that simple. Well, I just can't understand why everything I want to do is wrong. Well, because everything you're saying is contrary to the Word of God. Contrary to the Word of God. Hey, it's not my way. I'll never forget, I was not always in favor of everything that Jerry Falwell said or did. But there was one day I heard him on television, and the guy got up, and he was saying something. He said, and according to your way of salvation, I'll never forget, Brother Falwell said, I don't have a way of salvation. He said, it's God's way. It's the way the Bible says. Hey, that's it, all right? It is a direction to this walk. There is a direction to it. We've got this direction, and this is the direction we need to be going. Now, I guarantee you, if you'll get headed the right direction, there will be somebody or something that's going to say, over here, over here. Did you ever go out on the midway at a carnival, a fair, or a stock show? Used to go down there out through the midway, and they'd have those games, supposedly games of skill. And those guys were there, and it was always, hey, come over here, try your hand. When your girlfriend there a big teddy bear? In God's dear name, why? Okay, but anyway, I mean, come over here and win this, and you know you can do this. Or, hey, let me show you. Hey, come over here. I'll give you two free throws. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this: as long as you're headed the right way, there's always going to be somebody or something trying to get you to go the wrong way. Just a little bit, and mark it down. All right, if this is the right way. If this is the right way to walk, and you decide, well, I'm going to walk that way. You said, bridge is only that much room between them. Well, that's right now. That's right now. But the further you go, and the longer you go, the further you're going to be from the right way. Well, preacher, I just don't understand why you got to be so dogmatic. Because I know where the wrong way leads. And I know this, according to the Word of God, if it's not the right way, it is the wrong way. It is the wrong way. Now, I confess to you, there may be one way, more than one way to tie your shoes, okay? There may be more than one way to tie your shoes. And I don't guess that we could dogmatically say, if you don't tie your shoes the way I tie my shoes, you tie your shoes the wrong way. Now, I have given people a hard time and said to them, you're writing with the wrong hand. All right? You know, I'm just aggravating. But the truth of the matter is, if there's a right way, and we're talking about the truth of the Bible, and there is a right way, okay? It is a definite way. It is a definite direction. And if we get out of that, we're headed the wrong way. Look, if we'd come to God and say, now, Lord, you teach me thy way and I'll walk. That's the way I'll walk. If we'd do that, if it's his way, then all this wandering around ought to stop. It ought to end. You don't have to experiment. You don't have to experience all the ways man has come up with. If we could just get out of that. Preacher, I heard something new. I've heard this for years. If it's, you know, if it's new, it ain't the truth. If it's the truth, it's not new. But everybody, you know, got this new way and a new way to go about living for God. No, man, it's not. There's a right way, and it's in the Bible way. It's the way of truth. Look, we just go his way. Quit going around and wandering around everywhere. I love the people that want to have and to say, man, I'm wearing this bracelet that says WWJD, or I'm wearing this necklace that says WWJD. Wonderful, but the truth is, we know what Jesus would do. He's told us. He's told us. The question is not what would he do. The question is, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to go the way he has said? Hey, you don't have to experiment to find the way. The Lord's told us, all right? He's given it to us. You don't have to go experience it. Solomon went, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, and he tried it. He tried a little bit of everything. And he said it's all a waste. It's all vanity. It was a waste. I wasted it. The thing that bothers me so much is to see God's people waste their lives. Waste their lives. Well, I just wanted to try something. Just wanted to try something. Oh, my soul, what's wrong with us? Hey, can I say to you, there's nothing that we need to explore. There's nowhere we need these new ideas, all right? He's given us, he's laid it out for us that way. He's laid it out for us in the Word of God. Can you just imagine how much suffering and hurt it saves us if we'd just walk his way? We'd just walk away. Man, it saves us. Saves us so much. Hey, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, my parents had rules. My parents had some rules. They said, don't do this and do that and don't do this and make sure you do that. And I look back, I don't resent that. I don't resent that. I'm glad my dad was not the kind of dad that says, hey, son, put your finger here. I want you to try something. Slam the door on it. Well, that'll teach you not to do that. Man, I'm glad Dad didn't do that. I'm glad. You know, I won't tell you which one of my kids did this, you know. And my son, he can tell you it was his sister, all right? And she's not here to defend herself, so you'll never know. But I remember one time, the children were little, and we had this very hot pan, and my wife came, put it on the table. And you know, you do what we do, what parents do. We say, now listen to me. I want to instruct you in the ways. This has an exceeding high temperature, and it's necessary for you to refrain from applying any of your bodily parts to that because it could do you harm. Now, we didn't do that. Is that the way you explained it to your kids? No, I remember we put it on the table. Hot, 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 hot. Don't touch, hot. Sure enough, because they were kids. Looked over there. They touched it. Guess what? It was hot. It was hot. Just like we said. Hey, listen, God's laid some things out for us in the Bible, and he said don't. He just said don't. But there's something in our flesh that says nobody will see it. Boy, how ignorant we are. We cause ourselves suffering and problems and trouble. But man, if we'd just take the truth and decide, hey, I'm just going to walk in his way. Now you say, well, I don't understand it all. Me either. Hey, my parents had some rules when I was a kid. I thought, that's the dumbest rule I ever heard, but I think I'll do it because I'll get in trouble if I don't. Well, now I understood the rule. Man, I understood it now. Yeah, I look back and said, good thing. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks a lot, you know. Thanks a lot. You see, I visited people in jail that broke some of those rules. And I've been in every jail in Tarrant County visiting. Every jail in Tarrant County because the two guys were members of this church. But they couldn't stay out of trouble. And every one of them I've been in, I've never looked at one and said, man, I think I could enjoy a few days here. Not a one. Not a one. Matter of fact, I was real glad to get out. Real glad to get out in the sunlight again. Hey, somebody told me this is the way. This is the way to walk. If you'll walk this way, you can stay out of trouble. You know, God's word tells me here's the way. The psalmist said, Lord, if you'll teach me, I'll walk. I'll walk. If we had the right desire, we'd come to God for that and get that direction so we'd know the direction to walk. But I'll wind up with this right here. There is a destination to that walk. Every direction has a destination. Every direction has a destination. I mean, our Lord, his way is going somewhere. It's out there. It's there. Now, we haven't arrived yet. We haven't got there yet. If you're walking that way, you're not there yet. Okay, we're on the way. We're on the way. But if we're walking his way, you're headed in the right direction, and the right direction is going to lead you to the right destination. Hey, folks headed the wrong way, it don't matter how sincere you may be. It don't matter how confident you are in the direction you're going. If you're going the wrong direction, you're going to wind up at the wrong destination. But the world's filled with people that are determined, I'm not going to do what God says. I'm going to go and I'll make my own way and I'll do it. Yeah, and you're going to wind up where you don't want to wind up too. Now, some of the things about that destination, I'll tell you, one of them is going to result in holy living. Holy living. That is a foreign idea in our day. But our God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm afraid we've got a lot of adults that's got a carryover from younger days when somebody said to them, oh, you just think you're holy, Joe. And they cringed at that, and now they're afraid somebody will think it. Hey, can I tell you, who cares? Who cares? I see people that do stupid stuff, and put it on the internet. I want everybody to see it. Man, I'll be honest with you. If I've done something stupid, I never have to. I've done stupid things, and I'd look around and say, thank God nobody saw that. I was so happy, you know. And there's been a few times I've done stupid stuff, and there was somebody saw it. But, I don't understand the mentality that says I'm going to put it on the internet for everybody to see it. Wait a minute. If we've got, and we're walking that right way, and we've chosen that right path, and our Christian walk is His way, it's going to wind up in holy living. We're going to live a pure, holy life before this world and before our God. Now, if you do it, the world will not understand it. They're not going to understand it. They're going to think you're a religious fanatic. Fine. They're going to think you're some kind of religious nut. Okay. Don't let it bother you, all right? Don't let it bother you, because that holy living is a result of heading the right direction. But I want to remind you, that's not the destination ultimately. The ultimate destination is that place Jesus was talking about in John chapter 14 and verse 3 when He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. Now, I want to ask you a question. I'm pretty much done. Have you ever been somewhere and you showed up and you really felt uncomfortable? You ever done that? You got there and you go, I don't know, maybe you were dressed totally different, you know? Or whatever, and you're there, you just, maybe what was going on, you said, man, I don't think I fit in very good. I just don't think I fit in too good. I got news for you. I believe that's going to be a feeling a lot of Christian people have. Because I believe there's a good number of folks that are saved, but you can't tell it. You can't tell it by their life. They may go to church spasmodically once in a while, but it's not faithful. And if you were to see them during the week somewhere, you really couldn't differentiate between them and anybody else, saved or lost. Maybe even if you were to hear their speech at times, you would think, surely that's not a Christian. Well, I got news for you. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you've called on the Lord and asked Him to save your soul, you will be in heaven. But I can't help but wonder if there's not a lot of people going to get there and go, I don't think I fit in. Why? Because you've never walked the right way. Your Christian walk doesn't match what the truth says. The psalmist said, I'll walk in thy truth. But that's not your Christian walk. And just think, here you are, you're in heaven, and you go, it's going to take you a while to get used to it. I'll be honest with you, I want to walk in and be used to it right off. Amen. I want to feel at home just to get there. I've visited churches before, and immediately when I got there, I felt at home. I mean, it was just, hey, these are my kind of people. I can tell it, you know. Just by what was going on, what was happening. These are my... Now, they weren't perfect, because I'm not perfect. But I can tell these are people who love the Lord. These are people that are concerned with the truth. They want to live it. They want to put it in action in their life. I feel at home. Hey, listen, I believe that's the way we ought to feel the instant we sweep into heaven, okay? We ought to feel at home. But I'll be honest with you. If you've never had any kind of holy living, and nobody's ever been to a position where they would even accuse you of being a Christian because they were watching your walk, your way of life, then I don't see how you're going to fit in heaven. Everything there is pure. Everything there is clean. Now, it's so much that way that before our body can get there, God's going to have to change it. He's going to have to give us a new body. This body couldn't handle it. All right? What a place. Back in Psalm 86, would you look there with me, all right? Psalm 86, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. It all starts with you coming with the attitude, Lord, would you teach me? I'm ready to learn. And if you'll teach me, I'll do it. I'll do it. Now, maybe you need to change your attitude, okay? Maybe you got a bad attitude. We accuse people of having a bad attitude. I've had one on occasion. Okay, I've had one on a lot of occasions, all right? But I don't want to have that attitude about the Scripture and about, Lord, you teach me, and I'll do what you say. We need to line ourselves up and say, you know what? That's the way I need to take. That's the way I need to take. My Christian walk ought to reflect what I claim to believe. It ought to reflect it. Does yours? Hey, is it your attitude? I don't know what needs to be changed. What does need to be changed? You know. You know. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, I don't have to point it out in your life. He's already pointed out. If you're saved, he's put his finger on it, and you may not be wiggling outwardly, but you're wiggling inwardly, all right? Because you feel that pressure. What do you need to change? Hey, maybe what you need to do is get born again. You need to just get born again. Preacher, everybody here thinks I'm saved. Doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It's what God knows. And it's what you know. Listen, if you haven't been born again, you need to be born again. And that can happen tonight. You don't have to put it off. You don't have to make an appointment. You can do it now. Hey, Christian, you can change your attitude now, too. You can change the direction of your walk now, too. The best place to change it is right here at the altar. On your knees, say, can't kneel, sit down on one of these front pews. Why can't I do it where I'm at? Why can't you humble yourselves before God? See, that's a good change in attitude we need. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed tonight? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you.